Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
We'll talk about the Warriors' stinker in Utah, the LeBron James rumors, the Blake Griffin trade, all the injuries happening in the NBA, and we'll hear from Kevin Durant and GM Bob Myers. But first, we want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, so much to talk about on this week's podcast, not just the Warriors, but happenings around the NBA. But we'll start with the Warriors in their most recent game in Utah, which was pathetic, according to Steve Kerr. And the thing that struck me first, Ray, was seeing those uniforms that Utah was wearing. It kind of reminded me of the Astros of the 80s. I was looking for Billy Doran and Kevin Bass and guys like that, or Mike Scott. But instead, I got Ricky Rubio and guys like that. So, the Warriors, the first quarter and a half, they were okay. It wasn't terrible. But, man, after that, Utah just they shot the lights out from three. The Warriors couldn't hit any outside shots, any threes. And inside, they were dominated as well. It just looked like Utah came to play and the Warriors didn't.
Yeah, that's one of those games where your opponent is hyped up to see you, and they get that just about every time, don't they? And I think that plays into why they've had so many slow starts. I mean, that's one characteristic of this team this year. Usually they're able to overcome that, especially against lesser opponents, but they didn't the other night. They just never gained any traction, and the reason they didn't is their defense was atrocious. Kevin Durant was one of the worst defensive games I've seen him play. I think he even said so. All around, it was one of his worst games. In the second half, it's so bad, and by this time, it's garbage time. Steve Kerr calls a timeout angrily because nobody's moving the ball. I mean, if I can pull from what's the movie where the coach says there's a lot of lollygagging around here?
I'm trying to remember which movie. Yeah, maybe it was. It might have been Bull Durham, right?
Yeah, but anyway, that's kind of the way it was. You can say, all right, well, they have those nights. NBA teams have those nights where you're just not able to answer the bell. The Warriors have had a few of those this year. We know they're kind of pacing themselves, but even so, that was pathetic.
I have a theory about it, too, because, I mean, Steve Kerr was sort of at a loss as to why an NBA team would come out that way, really any NBA team. But I think in the Warriors' case, if they feel like, you know, they're kind of not playing that well at a certain point, maybe a six-minute stretch, they don't think the game's that important. I mean, they wouldn't have done that in the Celtics game. That was a scintillating victory over Boston. They had something they wanted to prove. They had lost in Boston. This game was just, you know, you could say trap game. It was just sitting there saying, you know what, who cares if we win this game? And once you fall behind, if you don't have that extra effort defensively, you know, I just think as a whole team, they're just going to say, yeah, let's just shut it down. We're not going to – we have to sort of pace ourselves at some point in some games during the year.
Well, Utah's one of these teams, several games under 500. They're scuffling to get to the eighth slot. Maybe a team you do take a little bit lightly. And also you figure that you're going to have that third quarter surge, right? You know, even if they're down by 15, 17 points, you think, all right, they're going to get it going in the third quarter and make it a ball game. But when it became apparent they weren't, I think that's when it was lights out, because they can count on that so many times against so many teams. Leave the Joe Ingles defense, shockingly, leave him open. That defense was not working out too well. And time and again, open threes. It was just amazing, and nobody was closing. And the effort level just wasn't there. I think the Jazz put up 69 points in the first half. This is a team that is 20th in offensive efficiency in the NBA. They had already scored their average per game after three quarters. They were right around that. I mean, just wasn't happening the other night. And, you know, they've had a couple of games like that at home, but they played better on the road. That just wasn't the case the other night. I think it's a blip on the chart, you know. I mean, once the LeBron news came down, we forgot all about that.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say if this team played like they did in Utah every game, you'd be saying, man, we need somebody like LeBron James. But, of course, they don't play like that most of the time, and they're the best team in the league. And yet we hear these rumors that LeBron would at least listen to the Warriors. I mean, of course he would listen. But, I mean, it became a pretty big story here this week about LeBron James and, you know, possibly being a Warrior. I think we could have fun with it. I mean, I started to just – think about it, sort of get mesmerized by the thought of LeBron in the lineup with the other four All-Stars, and it would just be the best team in not only in NBA history, but, I don't know, you'd have to rank it up there in sports history and go, wait a minute, this team should win the NBA title every year for a while.
Yeah. Let's break down a couple of parts here. first of all, Nick Wright and Skip Bayless have to have something to talk about, so there you right. go. They got that red meat. Think about it. It's Super Bowl week. And what was topic one today? LeBron to the Warriors. Could it happen? I mean, that's where the NBA just rules now. I mean, their offseason during the middle of the baseball season last summer was on fire, and they just keep going. And, you know, think about the last week and everything that's happened. Unfortunately, some injuries, but also just the out-and-out pettiness that's going on top of everything else. And then you throw LeBron and that little nugget into the mix. It just makes it interesting and something for people to talk about. I don't know where this got started. I'll say this much. I wish I loved anything as much as LeBron loves attention. And I think there's a little bit of that going on here. You know, chance to talk about him and where he's going to go and kind of divert attention from what's been close to a calamity for the Cavaliers compared to what their expectations are. And with them, defense is an issue as well. So I don't think it's happening. I don't think Kevin Durant, for example, is going to take less money a second time. The players were kind of downplaying it today, but they said, yeah, that's part of the league. It's always, you always got to have something to talk about. You know, you would have incredible talent up front. They would be top heavy with talent, but you'd have no bench. And, you know, their bench has been a little inconsistent this year, even as much depth as they have. And you're going to chip away at that. I don't see that as going to be a long-term solution for them. And I don't necessarily think that LeBron is a fit for this team either. And he's going to be, what, 34 years old? I think you'd rather invest in a guy like Anthony Davis. And we had Tim Kawakami on a couple of weeks ago. And that's his thought long-term, that's the guy the Warriors are angling for.
Yeah, and that might be true. And, you know, I thought about an embarrassment of riches and, you know, when the Yankees got A-Rod and they had A-Rod and Jeter, and they won one World Series, that's great, but they didn't win the World Series every year that A-Rod was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you have to mesh together. Let's hear what Kevin Durant had to say actually at practice on Thursday. He addressed the LeBron rumors.
For the last 2 years, everybody's been, you know, wondering where he's going to go and if he's been happy in Cleveland. So I understand that part. It's fun to see that suspense, but we're just getting away from the real game. You know, we're getting away from what really matters, and it's just that ball and getting better and enjoying the game. So more so people enjoy that type of stuff in basketball, and I get it. And it's also going to just make our game bigger, but I don't know if we want to grow it that way. You know what I mean? I get it, though.
What was first thing went through your mind when you saw that?
Bullshit, but, you know, in this league, you know, just like a couple years ago, me coming here, nobody would have thought that. So it's part of me as a basketball player. It's just like, let's just worry about basketball. And then on the other side, we know this is a business as well. And a lot of crazy things have happened since I've been in the league. And a lot of, and even when years in the, you know, in the future, is going to be even crazier things that's going to happen. So I just want people to enjoy what really goes on in between the lines.
All right, so that's Kevin Durant talking about LeBron James possibly being a Warrior. I like when he's saying the BS part because at least, you know, he did address it. He understands that fans get excited about something like that, and he understands that crazy things happen because he did join the Warriors when nobody thought that would happen.
That's right. And I thought, you know, sure, there was a chance, but all things being equal, I thought he was not going to be coming here, that he was going to stay in OKC a couple of years ago. And, of course, that set the league on fire. So, sure, there is actually a path where it could happen. But like I say, one of the things would be KD taking less money again. And, you know, he's making plenty of money, and he's getting his hooks into Silicon Valley on top of everything else, and that's going to be, you know, very lucrative for him long term. And I know he's talked about wanting to eventually own an NBA team. That's got to be the dream for every top NBA star. But, yeah, I just don't see this one. I really don't. There's just too many working parts to make it happen. But, you know, of course, you never say never. It would be... can you imagine if he came here? But every pundit's, Charles Barkley's head would explode. Nick Wright's head would explode. Skip Bayless's head would explode. Might almost make it worth it.
Well, I know Stephen A. Smith, his head is already exploding. I mean, I know that he was upset when Durant came to Oakland, because I think the way he's looking at it, and I can kind of see his point a little bit, is that if you're going to join the super team, what does that say about you? You know, you want to win, obviously, but that you're not taking the hard way about it. Now, I think it's great that Durant joined the Warriors, but, you know, LeBron, to join the best team, he's always been the guy that sort of carried his team. If he joined a team that's already winning, you know, what does that say about LeBron? Is he just kind of trying to coast to some championships, you know, to finish off his career? I'm not sure that it says that, but I get the that point that Stephen A. is trying to make.
Well, I'm not going to criticize LeBron if he wants to improve his chances to get a ring at this point of his great, great career. I mean, there are some of the same people who criticized Durant for coming to the Warriors who are saying, well, LeBron should be able to do what he wants. He's earned that right. That's hypocritical. I'm going to say LeBron can do whatever he wants, and I'm not going to criticize him. He's been a pillar of this league for a long time. I've got my issues with him, but he has a right to go wherever he wanted to. The only issue I ever had with the Miami deal was the dried ice and the not one, not two, not three, not four, and that whole thing with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, that whole production and the decision.
That decision was awful, yeah.
That Kabuki theater. So that was the only thing I had a problem with that. Other than that, you know, he can go where he wants. If they can make it happen, more power to him. It would just be crazy for the NBA, which is already, like I said, kind of winning the day when it comes to publicity, even in this Super Bowl week. But I look at it like there are several other teams that are far more likely to make it a fit. But I do know this. They got that arena going up. I mean, I would think Steph and KD and Clay and Draymond would be enough.
I would think so, yeah.
But if I know one thing about the Warriors and Joe Lacob and Bob Myers, they're very aggressive, and they do think big. So I don't think they've slammed the door on that idea. They can't talk about it right now. Bob Myers could not talk about it today. They'd have to be writing a check to the commissioner. But that's something you could never discount. Like I said, for several reasons, I don't see this one.
More Dubs OT right after this.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
Well, meanwhile, LeBron's current team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, they're struggling. They've been pulling out a few wins here and there, but they've had a really kind of a tough go here. And they lose Kevin Love to an injury, and there were some really big injuries here in the last week or so. I mean, it started with Boogie Cousins being out for the year, and, you know, that's a devastating injury when you have the Achilles. And then John Wall, getting his knee scoped, and, you know, he's going to be out for a while. Kevin Love, the broken hand. I mean, these big injuries that have happened here lately in the NBA, and it's really going to affect things as far as postseason is concerned.
No doubt. And I thought the same thing about the NFL this past season. You had several star players who went down early, and I think that affected the product. In this case, there's still so much talent there that I don't think it's going to affect the overall product. And to tell you the truth, I don't think it's going to change the trajectory of the teams that we think are favorites, although the Cavaliers are struggling a lot more than I thought they would. I still can't count them out because of LeBron. The Boogie Cousins injury was really tough. We were talking about an Achilles, 6 to 9 months, and he's about ready to go into a big contract year. What's he going to be like when he comes back? A guy that big dealing with an Achilles. I mean, he was having a monster year. So New Orleans went out and got Mirotić from the Bulls. We saw them a few games ago and was really impressed with Mirotić.
Well, that'll help, and, yeah.
Sorry, I was getting a call while we're calling here. No, Mirotić is, first of all, Mirotić has got to be glad he's away from Portis on top of everything else. That kind of set the tone for the season right there. But he's got some skills, and he can get on a heater from 3-point range. So I think that gives him a little more pop for the offense for the Pelicans that they lost with Cousins. I don't know if that's going to save him from falling out of the playoff picture. That was such a key injury for New Orleans, but they at least made up some of the ground.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation after this from Toscalito Tire and Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
You know, the performances we've seen lately in the NBA have been just spectacular. It started really with Steph Curry on Saturday when he had the 49 points against the Celtics. And, that was a great game. And watching Kyrie also, have a big game. But after that, I mean, James Harden, 60 and a triple-double. First time that happened in the NBA. And CJ McCollum, 50 points in 3 quarters, getting all Klay Thompson on us. Remember when Klay had, what was it? Didn't he have 60 in 3 quarters?
Yeah,
to do something like that. I mean, these performances that we've seen lately have really been amazing and making you want to watch the regular season maybe a little bit more.
Well, Harden followed that up by recording his 8th straight 20-point game. Not quite as spectacular, but the Rockets beating the Spurs. And, they're trying to nudge up on the Warriors, who did lose to Utah. There's still a couple of games in the loss column. But Harden is having a spectacular year. And, he's going to be an MVP contender, serious contender every single year. I know the back and forth between Warriors fans and Rockets fans about this and the trash talk and what Harden says. And I have some problems with Harden's game, although he's just doing what he can get away with, right? And so the NBA, the referees, let him get away with a lot of the play acting, the pantomime fouls and things like that, the stumbling through the lane and getting calls.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
very adept at that. He's also a tremendous on the dribble, very, very tough to guard. He's strong. People don't realize how big he is. Maybe you don't see that on TV, but if you watch a game in person, he goes about 6'5" and well over 200, and he's bulked up. And so he's really tough to guard. He's got no problem getting in the lane and getting some contact. And, for much of his career, it's all been about just getting the contact, not really trying to make the shot. Got a little bit better at that, but on top of everything else, he's become just a deadly 3-point shooter. He's got to be right up there in the conversation, but I think Curry is right there too. And that was a high profile performance Harden gave with the 60-point triple double, first ever. But what Curry did Saturday night against Boston, in case people had forgotten about him, he showed them once again on the national stage what he's capable of doing.
Yeah, that was a great game, and it was really fun to watch Curry just go off the way he did. I started thinking about when I saw Harden pull off the 60 and the way he's meshing with Chris Paul, who's back in the lineup now. It's pretty special to see what they're doing, and that might be the team that a lot of Warriors fans fear the most in the West. But for me, actually, Ray, it's Oklahoma City. I don't know how you feel, but
yeah.
For me, Oklahoma City, because I think they are getting it together better than I ever thought. I mean, Paul George, always scares you because he can go off at any moment. Russell Westbrook is going to get his triple doubles, and Carmelo Anthony is actually fitting in a lot better than people thought. So, for me, I'm really more worried about facing Oklahoma City. What do you think?
Well, it's a matchup that in ways is tougher for them. And, you know, the Thunder wiped the floor with the Warriors in OKC earlier this season. You know the Warriors remember that one. But, as far as matchups are concerned, and I think their length does really bother the Warriors. How many times did they disrupt passing lanes? It reminded me of OKC when Durant was there a couple of years ago. And in that Western Conference Finals, that was really giving the Warriors fits. They were getting a lot of turnovers. So, OKC is that way as well. They're currently fifth in the West at 30-21. They have a chance to get up to fourth, probably not third. I don't see them getting by the Spurs. But, you know, they could get a 4-5 matchup against the Timberwolves, which I think would be really, really interesting
in
the first round of the playoffs. Some really spicy matchups in the West. But I think you're right about that. I think OKC is maybe even a bigger challenge, but I think as far as a head-to-head matchup, I still think they beat them. But the one that everybody's pointing to that's the most likely will be the Warriors and the Rockets. And the Rockets are you know, they've said their piece. Clint Capella said his piece.
Right.
We think we're better than them. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, they were in the regular season 2 out of 3. You know, let me know when that parade is held in Houston. they've got moxie, they've got confidence, and they're better defensively, too. They brought in some guys who got a little bit of grit, guys like P.J. Tucker and Mba Mute. So they can guard wings as well. But of course, they have tremendous firepower. And when they're on, they're gonna scorch you. And I think the Rockets are going to do that if they play the Warriors in a playoff series. I think there are a couple of games where they're just going to go off. But I think over the span of a 6 or 7 game series, the Warriors still win.
You just made me think of something. I mean, you had a parade for the Astros. So I wonder about having two parades in 1 year. You know, there's probably a bunch of cities that have had that. I always think of New York. I always think of when the Knicks won and the Mets won. And I think the Jets, it was all within like a year period there in New York. Pretty cool when a city experiences that kind of stuff.
Well, it had to happen in Boston over the last decade, didn't it? I mean, with
the Patriots win every year, yeah.
Red Sox and Bruins, you know, and the Celtics won in 1 year with Garnett. So somewhere in there, they probably had a couple of teams that they had parades for. And, you know, here in the Bay Area, you had the Giants in 14, and then in June of 15, the Warriors had their parade. So I don't know if that counts as the same year, but it's within. It's within 8 months they had parades. So it's pretty cool when it happens for a city. And I'm sure that's what Houston has in mind. I will say this, and D'Antoni's a really good coach, and they've done a good job because there were doubts about Harden and Paul working together. You know, the only question is, are they going to be able to stay on the floor? You know, they've had their injuries, and the Warriors have had a ton of injuries too this year, and so far have been able to overcome them. If they stay intact, and that's what I want to see. And I really want to see those teams go up against each other in the Western Conference Finals. I think it's going to be epic like it was a couple of years ago with OKC.
We'll see who adds a piece or two or, you know, what the Warriors end up doing. And Bob Myers at the Warriors practice today, while he did not address LeBron James and next season, he did address if there's any kind of pressure to make a deal here before the trade deadline, before the All-Star break.
I feel pressured every day to try to help us win.
Okay.
But if it means making a move, you make the move. I think we always put internal pressure on ourselves. I don't feel external pressure. I know that this group's capable.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean you just sit back and say, we're good, I don't want to do anything, we have the best record. That's not what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what it is now. That's not what it'll ever be.
Right.
Look, everybody else is working. It's a competitive league. And so there's pressure for everybody. People may not believe this, but we have pressure. Our players have pressure to win every night. Every time we lose, it's a catastrophe. So that's pressure. We feel it because people expect a certain outcome for us. So there's constant pressure. That's fine. That's probably where you want to be. But it doesn't mean you react to that pressure and do something short-sighted or something like that.
All right, so that's Bob Myers, the general manager of the Warriors. I don't think that he's under any pressure to make a deal here. If somebody comes calling for JaVale McGee and he finds another piece because McGee really doesn't get much playing time anyway. You know, maybe he does
right.
that, but I don't think he's going to force anything, does he?
No, not at all. I think McGee's name has been mentioned most often, and there are certainly some teams out there that could make use of him. And, you know, as Jordan Bell gets back from his injury, there's going to be less and less time for McGee. And, you know, Looney has done a nice job in the minutes that he's had. He's I think, taken a step up. in the last couple of months, just kind of doing the little things. So that's one of the guys. You could also see something with Patrick McCaw. You know, it's been up and down and mostly down for him of late. He's regressed, unfortunately. And I know the Warriors still have some pretty high hopes for him, and that's the key. He's young. Other teams could have high hopes for him as well. You might see him be traded. You might see a package deal. Because I think the one thing that the Warriors would like to see is a little more consistency from the bench. They thought they had that covered with Nick Young from three-point range, for example. But he's hit and miss. He's one of those shoot-you-in-the-game, shoot-you-out-of-the-game type of guys.
Very streaky, Captain. Yeah.
Yeah. You want a little more consistency coming off the bench. So if you can find another guy who can give you that, and especially from three-point range, because, you know, Young's percentage is pretty good overall, like I said, up and down, but other than that, they're getting hardly anything from three-point range from their bench players. Not from Iguodala this year. He's shooting 22% from three, and he's a guy who's more likely to defer anyway because he's often on the court with Steph Curry, with Klay Thompson, with Kevin Durant, so he wants to give the ball to those guys. He's smart. He knows that they got a better shot.
Right.
And so he doesn't get up a lot of shots, and so it's hard to develop a good consistency, a good flow in your shooting form if that's the situation. Ian Clark last year was okay. He's not great defensively, but he was providing some punch off the bench, and he had a great little chemistry with David West cutting to the basket. I think West and Caspi can develop that, and Caspi's been pretty good about that this year. But I thought Caspi would take more three-point shots. That's another guy I thought would be a little bit more of a threat from three, and I think he's acknowledged he needs to work on that. Of course, part of his problem is he's had a couple of injuries, so he's been in and out of the lineup. So, you know, I think if the opportunity arises, they can go out and get a guy who can provide a little more punch coming off the bench. The Warriors would do that.
Back with more Dubs OT in just a moment.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat in San Francisco, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food. Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's artisan bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
One thing that won't happen is that you won't see a star player traded, which is what we saw in L.A. with Blake Griffin. Now, is it a shock? I don't think so. It might have been startling to some people because Blake Griffin signed that deal before the season, and they put up, we're going to hang your banner, your number, you're a Clipper for life and all this stuff. and then they trade him to Detroit in that big package, and they get a couple of draft picks and some veteran players. I mean, it was surprising. I don't know that it was shocking because he's been hurt, and, the Clippers are looking to rebuild. I mean, they don't have Chris Paul there anymore. And, next, you have to believe that Lou Williams is going to go and DeAndre Jordan. I mean, now the writing is on the wall. They're going to make all kinds of changes.
Yeah, I think it's probably a move for Motown for now and for the Clippers long term. And I don't think they did a bad job. I wonder how much of a voice Jerry West had on this deal. But you get a guy like, can you imagine Blake Griffin saying one day, I'm going to get traded for Boban Marjanovic? He probably didn't see that coming. But, Avery Bradley is a good, tough defender. Tobias Harris, you get a first-round pick, and I think that was the key, getting that first-round pick, as well as a second-round pick. So I think what the Clippers are doing is, if not a total rebuild, they're reconstructing. It makes it, a little bit uncertain for these guys. How are they all going to mix together, right? You've got Teodosic, you got Bradley, you got Tobias Harris, Harrell. DeAndre Jordan is sitting there looking around and saying, wait a minute, you guys sequestered me in my house a couple of years ago.
Right.
And now everybody's gone. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Austin Rivers, Danilo Gallinari. They're a 500 team right now, and maybe some people are surprised by that they're in contention. And, of course, Lou Williams, who just went off against the Warriors a couple of weeks ago, and he was a player of the week. He's so explosive. But that's a guy, out of all those guys, if I'm a contending team, I'm looking at saying, yeah, let's see if we can make this happen, have this guy coming off the bench who has the capability of putting up 20 or 30 in a hurry.
Let's listen into what the general manager of the Clippers, Lawrence Frank, had to say about the morale of the Clippers after trading a player like Blake Griffin.
In the NBA world, when something like this happens, there's a range of emotions. First is probably anger, like, you know, you traded one of our brothers. You traded, you know, a great player. There's, you know, that emotion. Then there's probably disappointment. Then it's, okay, well, what are we doing as a team? Like, are we blowing this up? And then there's, okay, how does this impact me? So I think there's a wide range. So what you do is you just have very open, honest dialogue with the guys, one-on-one, then as a group. And one thing to make it very clear, we are still trying to win. We're still trying to make the playoffs. This was a hard decision, but a decision we felt was in the best interest of the franchise.
And there's an example. You trade a player, I mean, your team is going to have to react to it. And that's also, getting back to the Warriors here, if they do make a deal, and they, you know, it's not going to be a huge deal. We know that, as we talked about. But even adding one player, you still have to kind of get them into the mix, and there'll be plenty of time to do that. And especially with the trade deadline moved up a little bit, maybe that helps, because, you know, yeah. Steve Kerr's going to want to figure out, if they do get a new player, how does he fit in?
Yeah, I think you want more time with that player if you can get it. So that's the good thing. I think that the veteran players know the deal. Maybe for a younger player, if they're being traded the first time, it's a tougher adjustment. As far as the Clippers are concerned, there's just going to be a bunch of guys who are going to get more chance to play. So I don't think it's going to be a negative for them. But there are a couple of guys like Lou Williams, DeAndre Jordan, veteran players who are still waiting for the hammer to fall. So that makes it a little tough to concentrate. But I think as far as the Warriors are concerned, this is now a veteran core team. And they've been through this before. I think they're going to handle it. I don't know. The way they played the other night, maybe you want to trade everybody. I still can't get over how bad they were against the Jazz. Like I said, it's not going to matter long term, probably. But, you know, they've had some real lows this year, especially the defensive end. And I think, you know, Steve Kerr alluded to that the other day, that he doesn't mind that much. He knows that they're pacing themselves. But you also want to develop good habits. And a good habit is not, let's give up 38, 40 points in the first quarter and then come back.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about this at the start of the season. It's dangerous knowledge, knowing you can come back from a 15-point deficit. Well, we know that's not going to work as much during the playoffs. That's playing with fire. I'm sure they know it as well. So I think going down the stretch, it's going to be about developing better habits. But that'll be very interesting to see if the Warriors do make a deal. And I certainly don't discount it.
Well, Ray, I look at these next three games, and I see incentive for the Warriors in every game. And that maybe that's what it comes down to. I mean,
you've got three
teams that the Warriors have laid an egg against previously. I mean, Sacramento, they're going to play in Sacramento Friday, but they lost at home to the Kings. That should never happen. They've also lost to Denver. They're going to play in Denver Saturday. And then OKC, and that, you know, obviously always has the implications, you know, the Durant-Westbrook stuff. But the Warriors had their butts kicked in Oklahoma City the last time they played the Thunder. So there you go. I mean, there's incentive in all three games.
Yeah, I think that at this point of the season, that's what you want to manufacture, reasons to get up for a game. And, at Denver, a team that beat them here, they lost to Sacramento. I want to say that in that game, they lost here to Sacramento. In that game, they had at least one star player out. It might have been Curry.
I think you're right, yeah.
Durant. Yeah, but they still played poorly in that game. Hey, it's Groundhog's Day, and the Kings are in last place. How about that? I mean, the one thing about the Kings is they've got two of the top 15 three-point percentage shooters in the league. So if the Warriors defend the three like they did against the Kings, they're going to be in trouble. You know, Buddy Hield can fill it up from deep. We know that. And George Hill has a very good percentage from three. They're certainly a team that's struggling to find their way. Now you see where they are in the standings, and that makes that loss even more puzzling. But, you know, the crowd's going to be up for it for that game. I know that. It's going to be a marquee event anytime the Warriors come in. And then you got the Nuggets and, of course, OKC. That's one that I'm sure they've had circled for a while to get a little revenge because Thunder are feeling like, this is a team we can solve and a team that they conceivably could face in the playoffs. So I'm looking at 3-0. I think these games are going to have their full attention.
I think so, too. I'm glad you mentioned Groundhog Day Friday. You could, replay this podcast over and over and over again on iTunes or wherever you find it because, it's Groundhog Day. You're supposed to do stuff like that.
I promise we won't play I Got You, Babe.
Oh, that's what he woke up to every day, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's torture right there.
Oh, man. All right, Ray, we'll talk again next week.
All right, we'll see you next week, and maybe I'll see my shadow by that time.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.